Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name, the rock of our salvation. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 6. Please pray with me as we consider the word of God. Lord, we pray that you would accomplish always what you desire through your word. Send us the Holy Spirit. Give us faith. Give us understanding. May we build our house on you, the rock, and be delivered and saved. We pray now that you open our ears and hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, First Lutheran Church, what must we do? That's the question of the day. What must we do? If you don't get this right, there is no lunch today, or you'll be in the back of the line. Hope you join us for lunch and fellowship after church. Good to have you here. What must we do? It's right there, simple, clear, straightforward, right there in the gospel lesson. It's a short little gospel, just a few verses long. What must we do? Let me help you. We must build our house on the... I can see you're excited about that. Try it again. We must build our house on the rock. That's church. That's our family. That's your spouse, your kids. That's you as an individual. Are we building our house on the rock? Let me today say four simple things that are involved in building your house on the rock. Four simple things about building your house on the rock. And the rock is Christ, the only rock that can deliver us and save us. Building our life, our house, our homes, our children, our spouse, their lives too, and everybody else we can possibly find on that rock. Four things. This is Christianity 101, the basics of the Christian life. Simple, straightforward. First of all, if you're going to build your house on the rock, we must learn to plan ahead. Building your house on the rock requires foresight. We must look to the future and plan ahead and know that judgment is coming or death is coming. Eternity is coming. I live here a few years and I'm going to be... forever, either heaven or hell. We must have foresight and plan ahead that we be in heaven. The wise man, he looks ahead. He plans ahead. Even though it's a sunny day and everything's nice outside, he realizes that a flood can come. And the waters can rise really, really quick. So he realizes that can happen. Trouble can come. So he makes sure he builds a house that is safe and secure when that comes. He's using his head. He plans ahead. Prudence. But the foolish guy, he doesn't care. It's all about the here and the now. There's a plot of land over there. There's a beach over there. I'll go build my house there. Quick, easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Who cares about death? Who cares about eternity? Who cares about those eternal things? I don't care. I'm just about the here and the now and having fun and be happy here and the now. Are you wise? You plan ahead? Or are you foolish? You're not even thinking about that stuff. And when the flood comes. Disaster. You know, we do a lot of planning in life. Our problem is that we don't plan. I think we do a lot of planning. We plan for our kids' education, smart thing to do. We plan for a career, smart thing to do. We do financial planning, a smart thing to do. We plan for retirement, very smart. We plan for the weekend. We plan to go to the football game. You made plans to come to church. That's why you're here. It's good to plan. But do people really ever get around to planning for the day of judgment and planning for eternity? We're all going to live forever. Everybody here, you're going to live forever. It's a matter of where. And the other place really isn't living. It's just eternal death. Do we ever plan for that? As you sit in the pew right now, if you don't know for certain that you'll be in heaven and saved from the coming flood. And the flood here recalls Noah's flood judgment. A second judgment is coming. Christ will come again. And it also involves the storms and the trials of life. But if you don't know for sure you're going to be in heaven, you haven't planned so well. And if your dear children and your spouse don't know for sure, you haven't planned real well. It's time to get with it. You know, I read where Americans suffer from sleep deprivation. Do you know what percentage of Americans don't get enough sleep? 53%, supposedly. That's a lot of people. 53% of Americans do not get enough sleep. I totally disagree. Ministers would disagree. People sleep a lot around us. All right? Physically, people may not get enough sleep. But I'm talking spiritually, which really matters. And I find there's a lot of people in the world out there, and a lot of people even in the church, that are asleep spiritually. I'm not thinking about all that, Pastor. Well, think about it. And think about it for your children. This is salvation. This is heaven and hell. This is eternity. Make plans. Wake up. Is the call of this gospel. Secondly, if you're going to build your house on the rock, you must dig deep. There's digging deep by the Christian. I note, this is significant, that in this particular version of this parable, and Matthew has it, but we're on Luke today, the Lord says that the wise man, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Think about it. This is a lot of work to dig deep, not just a little bit of ground, but you're digging a lot of ground. And it's for a house, and that's a pretty big plot of land. This is hard work. This is sacrifice. This is pain. This is work. Blood, sweat, and tears is involved. Whereas the foolish guy, he just built his house on the ground somewhere real quick. That's foolishness. Quick, easy, comfortable, here and now. I'm not worried about anything else. The wise person digs deep so that he can get down to the rock. Now, how's this apply? The Lord is teaching us this. To build your house on the rock, to build your faith on Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus, however you want to term it, is hard work. It's not so easy. It's hard work because there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of dirt that gets in the way of me and Jesus. Dirt's not a bad thing out there. We like the ground. But ground has to be moved away, the dirt moved away so you can get down to the rock. Duh. And so there's a lot of things in our lives, a lot of things that aren't necessarily bad, but they're in the way between me and Jesus. And the call of the Christian is to dig those things out, remove all the obstacles between you and Jesus that you build your life, your children's lives on Jesus. And there's many things that get in the way. It's all over the place here in America. Look at your busy schedule, my busy schedule. We have our job. A job's a good thing. We need a job. But sometimes we work way too long. And then there's Johnny's football practice afterwards. And then I have to go and watch TV, all my favorite shows. Then there's the internet. Then there's homework. Then there's this club, this to do. And God has pushed, the rock has pushed further and further away. It's covered up by all the dirt and stuff in my life. Not bad stuff, it's just in the way. When are we ever going to push some of those things aside and say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom? The kingdom isn't second or third or 35th, it's first. And it's time to maybe reorganize my priorities and my habits, that the rock be first. I clear things out that I build my family's lives on the rock, Jesus. It's time to maybe change my habits. I'm going to have a devotion at home and read God's word and teach my kids at home. That's your job, parents, with Sunday school and our Christian school's help. But it's your job, above all. I'm going to pray and pray with my family. And I'm going to be in God's house. No excuses. Seek first the kingdom. I'm going to come to hear the word of God. I'm going to come to the sacrament and confess my sins. It's going to become a normal thing to build my house on the rock. And nothing's going to get in the way. Not this, I'm too busy. I'm just too tired. I'm worn out. If only you knew my life. Well, praise be to Christ. He wasn't too tired to die on a cross. And to rise again for us. Dig deep. Clear out the obstacles. That you have a relationship with Jesus. Going down halfway and getting near the rock isn't good enough. Get down to the rock. Get in the word, in the sacrament, in worship, in Bible class, in Sunday school, in home devotions. And build your house on the rock. I read where God has wonderfully made our bodies, that in our nose, we have all sorts of little bitty tiny hairs in our nose. Don't want to gross you out, but bear with me. Little bitty tiny hairs. And these little bitty tiny hairs, they move, they vibrate 15 times every second. They vibrate 15 times every second. They're vigilant little hairs. So that if anything foreign in the air were to come into our nose, they push it out immediately. They push it into our throat so that we swallow it, or to keep it out of our lungs, because if it gets in our lungs, it's disaster. They're ever visible. You got to stay out of the lungs, stay out of the air. Push it out, push it out, push it out. 15 times a second they vibrate. How God's made the body to get rid of stuff. If only our spirits did that and our minds did that. What in my life is the dirt that's in the way? What changes am I going to make that I build my house on the rock? Thirdly, and this is the crux of the issue here, to build your house on the rock, you got to totally trust the rock. What's the point in digging down to a rock if you don't think the rock can save you either? Just build on the sand or something else. But it's total faith and trust in the rock. And who is the rock, First Lutheran? The rock is Jesus. Do you trust him? Yes. It is total faith and trust in Christ. I don't just build an apartment on the rock and build my house over here, and when the flood comes, I'll run over to my apartment. That's ridiculous. You build your whole house. It involves, again, your spouse, your kids, and other people. You build your whole life on the rock Christ. It's total trust that when the flood comes, death comes, judgment comes, the storm comes, trial, cancer, sickness, it comes, I will stand because of him. And the good news of this parable, it's so short, is that the house that's built on the rock stands. We read literally, it doesn't even shake. It doesn't even shake. That's the power of our crucified, risen Savior who has died and rose again for our sins. That the house isn't moved a little bit when the flood comes. The house doesn't have any broken windows. We don't read where the roof is torn off. None of that. The house doesn't even shake. You don't even feel it hardly. You stand on Christ, the solid rock. When there's sickness, we stand on Christ who loves me in my sickness. When I'm facing death, I stand on Christ because he is the resurrection. He is the life. When the day of judgment comes, I stand on Christ because he died for me. I'm forgiven. I'm covered in his righteousness, so I stand boldly. Total trust. Total faith. One thing can save me, one person, Jesus, the rock. I'm a big guy, as you know, and I can usually sit in a chair and not worry about it, that I'm going to break the chair. This chair, I don't worry about it. They're well built by our wonderful trustees. Most sofas and chairs, I just sit down. But then there's those little weak lawn chairs that you fold up that bother me. I hope we have none of them down in the gymnasium. I don't think we do. You know the ones I'm talking about, the picnic, the little weak ones, and whenever I go over to sit in one, what's Ann saying in my ear? Maybe you shouldn't sit in one of those. Don't break their lawn. She didn't worry about me falling and breaking my back. She just worried about the chair. But if I sit in that chair and it holds me up, me being a big guy, am I worried the next time when I sit in it? Well, of course not. It's held me up. I can sit in that chair. It'll hold me. The next time's a piece of cake. You see, we build our life on Christ because he's already proven he can take everything. At the cross, he took everything. He took my sin, all of it. He took my death, all of it. He took my hell. He took the wrath of God. All the fire and flood of God's wrath was laid upon him. He's withstood it all. It cracked him. He got cracks in his hands and feet and side and head. It cracked him. But he rose again, the glorious Son of God. Overcame it all. So I stand on him. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then to finish up, Christianity 101 today. Stay put. When you're building your house on the rock who is Christ, don't move. Stay in Christ. This is the great challenge of the church. To stay in the house. To stay put on the rock. Because everything else leads to disaster. You see, one of our great temptations at Christians, and I have this temptation too, is just flat out boredom. It really is. Think about the illustration. You live in one house on a rock your whole life, you're going to get bored. I want to go live in that house. That house on the beach looks nicer. That one on the cottage on the hill, I like that. Let's go there. It leads to spiritual disaster. Only Christ can save you. But living in a house on a rock isn't always so exciting. And being a Christian in this world is not always excitement and thrill and emotional high. It's plugging away, building my life and my kids' lives and my family's lives on the rock, Jesus. and I won't dare move or budge a bit. I'll hear the word, confess my sins, pray, commune to stay on Christ. I saw the cartoon for Dennis the Menace a couple days ago, and Dennis the Menace is sitting next to his friend. Dennis the Menace has a little ice cream cone. His friend has a foot-long coney dog, and he's looking very jealously at his friend's coney dog. And the caption says, "I wish they made foot-long ice cream cones." Don't we all wish they made foot-long ice cream cones? You see, we always want what the other guy has. The grass is always greener somewhere else. Well, no, it's not when you're on the rock. There's another house with a better foundation over there. There's another religion over there, a philosophy over there, a theology over there, something better. There's nothing better. I'll boldly say this as your pastor. There's nothing better than right here. To be absolved of your sins in the name of Jesus. Tell me a greener grass, a better rock than that. And to hear the holy, pure word of God. Tell me a better rock than that. And to receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood that forgives sins. Tell me a better rock. Stay put. Stay put on the rock, Jesus. Don't move. Don't budge, it says. What must we do, First Lutheran Church? What must we do? We must build our house on the rock. May we ever build our house on the rock. Let's rise. Confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, our faith in our